Welcome to the 19th hole presented by Golf Talk Live. I am Alan DePue, and I am joined as always by my co-host, Christian Nazamas.
Alan, how are you?
Tremendous. Thank you for asking. Andrew DePue.
How are we doing, guys?
Amazing. And Tony Leodora, who is not with us this evening. He is on assignment. But guys, talking about being on assignment, if you listen to our show on Monday, then you know, Christian, you're probably going to comment. I got palm trees in the background. I'm hanging out poolside. I couldn't take the snow. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Hey, I don't blame you. We got a couple feet on the ground up here in upstate New York, and I'm jealous.
They're calling for another 6 to 9 inches back in Philadelphia. I have no desire to go back right now.
As you shouldn't have any desire to go back. I mean, would you rather be playing golf for another 2 weeks, or would you rather be coming up here in the ice cold? I mean,
Andrew,
geez.
I have been playing golf. I am owning my game so that when we tee it up in another month or so, when we all get together, that you will be mesmerized by my playing ability.
How was the game, by the way? Was it good, bad? Putting was good. Driving was bad. Like, what was – give me the scoop here.
What? It was horrific, actually, to be quite honest with you. I played the Champions Gate International course yesterday, and it was spectacular in the fact that the golf course, literally, folks, if you're listening to this, I'm going to give them a plug right now. They could hold a tour event at Champions Gate on the international course right now. The greens are that good. The golf course is in that good a shape. And if you are in the Orlando area, you absolutely need to be teeing it up there. And then we had a congregation, a reunion of sorts. As I made my way over to Southern Dunes Golf and Country Club, and Andrew, I know I'm going to name drop an old family friend, but I hooked up with Mike Armell, owner of Boca Greens Country Club, lifelong friend in the business, as well as Joe Rabone and Quinn Smith, Quinn of Q North Golf Management. Andrew, you probably remember him when you were probably like six. So it was an old homecomings of sorts, and that ties into the whole traveling conversation we've been having. And I mean, it was just a good time. And I'll tell you what, I had the opportunity to do an interview. Let's go to that interview right now with those guys.
If you have been listening to the show, you have been hearing how we've been talking about winter golf excursions. And on Monday, I slipped away to Florida. And now I'm connecting with some old friends. I'm at Southern Dunes Golf and Country Club. And you never know who you come around the corner and you run into. I am joined by Quinn Smith of Q North Golf Management. Dr. Quinn, how are you?
Thanks, Alan. Good to see you. Hey, talk about surprises. Number of years, we go way back. But we show up and who's there? Duper. What do you think? Mike?
And who else is joining us? Mike Armell.
Well, I have to tell you, to see this Mr. DePue, after all of these years, reunite with Mr. Quinn Smith, Mr. Mike Farewell, to enjoy this awesome golf course is
Quinn.
Tremendous.
The background noise. You never know what you're getting.
You know what? We have people coming at us from all angles.
Some people aren't social distancing.
Well, no, we're 6 feet, but we have big voices. Yeah. Duke, you're a podcast, though. Tell me about the podcast. Well, I'm going to interview you a minute, Duke.
The podcast is great. We connect people, our listeners, with the men and women that are shaping the game. And in the upper Midwest, there's nobody that's shaping the game better than Q North. Well, tell the listeners about your company, and then also give us a little bit about where do you see the golf business right now?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. And, you know, with you and Mike Armell, I mean, we go back. That's right. I cut my teeth working for you back in the mid-1990s, right?
We all had hair.
I still got it.
I had hair.
Okay, so you just moved down your face a little bit. So go up to Michigan, and, you know, here's the state. If people aren't familiar with Michigan, I'm biased. Well, I grew up mainly in Michigan for the most part of my life, and the golf there, I think, is the best anywhere. The only thing we have now, you know, obviously with the winter, you get 5 months, you have to take a break. But during the summer, participation, it's insane there. And with the courses that are going away, it just puts that much more play back into the business. And, you know, everybody with, of course, with this year with COVID, we've had, you know, higher than normal rounds. But I would say since 2011, we've been on an upward trajectory in Michigan that's just been, you know, it's been insane there. You got such a short season to play, and people are just anxious to get out and play.
I want to add to that. I was going to say, so this past year, COVID rounds up, allowed to play. All public golf courses, resort, member play up. Alan, Orlando, as you're here, you'll see a little bit different, a little impacted, like when we last spoke about Canadians, Brits, people coming in. We're a little bit more handicapped versus maybe other locations.
Right. And, you know, it's a good point, Mike, because Mike and I were talking, we talk a couple times every month at least, and when I was mentioning the round situation with the COVID, and I didn't think about that, you know, with you get a lot of play, Canada, Europe, coming to locations like this, destinations, and that's a huge impact. It's got to be.
South Florida, huge. Up, just like north, you know, Midwest, Northeast, Orlando, big impact.
So, and I've seen that. I've been talking to the staffs here, playing some golf, played at Champions Gate over in Disney, as well as now here connected with you guys at Southern Dunes. And I'm hearing the same thing from a lot of the staffs here, where, yes, rounds are up, but they're maybe not making as much dollars per round as they normally would, which translates, and this is my question for you guys, because you're on a trip, and we'll get to a second part of that question in a minute, but two-part question here. Do you see golf excursions, golf trips going up, Quinn, in your opinion?
I'm not really one to add to that. I'll let Mike, because we don't do a lot of that kind of business. We're, you know, in Michigan, we're more community-based business. Mike, certainly you're going to see the travel a lot more than I will.
I would agree with that. I think what you're going to find are groups like ours. We're 16 from Michigan, PA, Virginia, Florida. We know each other. We trust each other. We're going to travel. Other groups might take a different
I'm asking more in the sense of, I think you're not going to see as many people hopping into a bird to go fly to
correct.
To a different location. The Great American Road Trip is probably returning. It has an impact.
Shorter distance little trips.
Next year. Yeah. Hopefully next year. It's back.
Would you say, though, I think with the I'm going to just say pent-up frustration more than anything.
That, without question.
You know, as soon as things do start opening up and people have a little more, they feel a little safer, I think you're going to see it. Actually, probably a huge jump.
Here's what it is. Summer, Midwest, beautiful, great golf courses. Soon as the cold spell hit, was when? November, December?
Late October, early November.
First thought, how do I get south?
Yeah.
Whether it's Pinehurst, whether it's Myrtle Beach, whether it's Florida, Orlando.
Or Quinn's at. Look, we talked about like going out to Texas.
Yeah.
Lots of good properties
that
in Texas.
That is when I think who feels they're safe, who feels like everything's okay. Our experience, everything's been great because we know the people that we're traveling with.
Yeah.
All the golf courses are accommodating. They're following the safety guidelines. Highly recommended. Yep. Travel, play golf.
Yep. So Quinn, I got to ask this one last question, and then we got to get back to.
Yes, we're playing the whites. We're not playing the tips.
We got to get on the tee. My question is, how would you feel if you got bumped from the golf trip?
Bumped in, but who bumped me? Who bumped me? And what
wait,
bumped
the,
me?
The invite, but the name was not official. You were a potential fill-in.
I'm seeing it.
Oh, Quinn.
I'm seeing it. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
let's
see. Who
see this? And because we've experienced this a couple times, and what
you're
happens?
You're like a cicada bug. It's like every 17 years they come out.
Don't feel bad though, because here's what happens, Duper. Here's what happens when it comes down to the last minute, like we had, and someone drops it. You know, in this great cause, reason why, but all of a sudden someone drops, and it's like, okay, Mike sends out the alert, scramble, let's find somebody. So I'm trying, Joe's trying, Mike's trying, and then it's basically the first name in goes, and that's kind of the way we've run it. So it's
this. Oh man.
Duper.
That was a very political way of protecting Armel.
If we're not political on this show, right?
If it were a vote, Duper.
Well, wait a second.
Who got
so,
in?
Alan, how? Let's ask you. Let's turn the tables here. How have you benefited by your so-called "I've been bumped"? Did you travel to Florida with anybody?
Well, no, I actually, absolutely. I was able to come down and enjoy some family time whilst also getting some golf in. But, you know, sometimes you just want to hang out with the guys. I mean, it has been 30 years.
Hey, Alan, we got to go. There's the beverage cart. We have to go.
All righty, folks. Guys, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Having a group full of those guys, you are correct. I didn't get to put my piece in before we went over to the actual interview, but Mike Armella is always a trip, to say the least. So I know that we've obviously had our technical difficulties on this show already once with him. Glad that you were able to come down to him and be able to figure out the tech. Yeah, at one point he was wearing a Redskins helmet. We don't know what he was doing, so. Glad you were able to at least get him on the horn and be able to figure out his technical difficulties for him, because I don't know if I could go through another editing nightmare that did occur after that one. So
dude, I had to travel 900 miles to actually do an interview with the guy.
I mean, you know, that you'd think at this point with COVID and everything that it's taught us about how to use a Zoom, you know, Outlook and everything like that, that he'd be able to figure it out. But, you know, that's Mike Armel for you. He's always
he's technically challenged. What can we say?
Clearly.
Sounds like the Redskins a little bit.
Oh.
Mike, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. That was just a friendly beef. Obviously, I'm an Eagles fan, but, you know, that's just friendly competition. We can take it out on the golf course when I meet you for the first time.
Look, it's the winter months. We've been talking about it a lot. I'm going to be making my way back north tomorrow. And I'll be stopping in Pinehurst, so watch our social media, because I haven't chosen a intended location to tee it up yet. But I'll be snapping a few pictures and giving a report of some golf courses for our listeners to check out when they're. But again, shout out to Grand Cypress Golf Club, the Magnolia Course over at Disney. Southern Dunes Golf and Country Club, and of course, as I mentioned and expounded on, how about the Champions Gate? Ledbetter Academy is there. Again, check out our social media. All great stuff. And Christian, I think you would agree, the beauty of golf trip, and Mike Armel said it well, as we were having an epic match out there on the golf course. He and I were taking it to Joe and Quinn, but we finished in a tie. You cannot see guys for like a year. You cannot see guys. We hadn't actually gotten together physically for 7 years, and it's like old times. You're back laughing about the silliness.
Yeah. That's the beauty of golf. I mean, beauty of golf is that, like you alluded to earlier, was that, you know, you could always meet guys and you could not see them for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the time frame is. And you guys pick up right where you left off. And, you know, that's the beauty of the game. You guys are out there for 4.5-5 hours. You guys kick back, relax, hit a few golf shots, hopefully have a few laughs. And then you guys go from there. But again, golf's never going to go away. It's always going to continue to be there. And I'm sure when Andrew and I are growing old and down the road and stuff like that, we're going to get together wherever we are. And you, obviously, but I'm talking because we're in that little age group right now. And, you know, I haven't physically met you yet in person yet. Andrew. So
I hope you remember this every time that he wants to kiss up to you to make a point and then hound me, you know.
Andrew,
I'm just going to be the one to say that he was the one that attacked you first about you.
Andrew, did he just call me old?
He did, in fact, call you old. And not only did he call you old, he didn't even reference you as a part of our golfing group down the line. So clearly, you know where his mind was at, which is just messed up and dark to go to. We're not even going to go to that point. But
all right. Well, I will. Hey, truth be known. And anyone that's out there listening right now, you can relate. I hate to say it, but I stepped up on the blue tees at Champions Gate and it beat the hell out of me. I'm not gonna lie.
Was that the senior tees or was that the back tees?
I'm not gonna lie. We played a modified tee box when we played Southern Dunes.
Okay. Well, listen, you've obviously wisened to a point that you deserve the upward of movement of tee boxes there. So, you know, can't speak right now. It's been a long day, but. You know, that's the beauty of old age. You get to at least move up a little bit and make up for some distance
and respect your elders, Christian.
Exactly.
You're not an elder. First off, you're not an elder. I'm not that low where I'm going to say you're an elder. No, not even close. You're young for your age. Come on.
Thank you.
And you outdrive Andrew probably. Age or maturity. You have a betting putting stroke than Andrew. First off, by the way, how was putting, by the way? Did you putt?
Amazing. Well, yeah.
You can putt better with one hand and Andrew putts better with two anyway, so it's not a big deal.
Hmm.
I mean, that's what
look I'm how he's trying to kiss up to you. That's all I'm saying. He's just trying to kiss up to you now.
He's backing up.
Dude, you're backpedaling.
Hey, I'm just saying, last time I played with Andrew, he had more chip-ins than he had actually made putts. So.
You're going to scar your ankle when your foot comes off backpedaling so hard. All right, enough of this. We got to take a word from our good folks over at Mainland Golf Club. Hey, we've been talking about great golf courses down here. If you're in the Philadelphia era when the snow melts, great golf course, Mainland Golf Club.
Have a phenomenal senior tees, so just throwing that out there too.
Let's just go right to the commercial, please.
Conveniently located in Harleysville, just off the Lansdale exit of the Northeast Extension, the player-friendly Mainland Golf Course offers excellent playing conditions at affordable rates. It is a perfect host site for your next corporate outing. And after each round, the golf experience at Mainland Golf Course can be enhanced by visiting the Mainland Grill, serving lunch and dinner daily. For more information, go to mainlandgolf.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Bella Vista Golf Course in Gilbertsville and Morgan Hill in Easton.
Well, always a good one. Had to throw that in there just with our good jokes going on. Obviously, Mainland has been a phenomenal supporter of the show, and we greatly appreciate that. But, you know, I had to throw my little rousing jab in there. You know, if you guys want to make fun of my putting, I'm going to have to keep making fun of you at some point somehow.
No, I said that I was not going to do that in 2021.
That is true. That is true. But, you know, obviously, we talked about your golf game and your, more importantly, golf struggles, which I'm glad to know I'm not the only one that struggles with the game. But there's other people that are playing that are a lot better than we are this week. I have the shirt on in honor of this week. It is Pebble Beach week. And let's go right into it because there's a lot of good names on these leaderboards that are going to be playing this week. And
Please expound your 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon on us.
Oh, the Kevin Bacon. All right. Well,
you got a Titleist hat on. You got a Titleist hat on and a Pebble Beach hat.
Yep.
Or Pebble Beach shirt.
I got it all covered. I mean, let's just start right here. Jordan Spieth back in the field. Jordan Spieth obviously played well. Jordan Spieth is a Titleist guy. He's not my pick, but he is a Titleist guy. So have to give him some props there. But you know. I think that there's a lot of good names. I mean, you got Patrick Cantlay, you got Daniel Berger, Paul Casey. Your last week's dark horse pick with Will Zalatoris, Jason Day, Molinari, as I already mentioned, Spieth, Homa, Sam Burns, Siwoo Kim, Kevin Streelman, just some of those. I mean, those names alone are some good names. So, you know, open to suggestions, and I'll let you guys start with – you know, some of the things you might think are going to be the keys to victory, if we're going to call it that. And that way I have some more time to figure out exactly who my pick is because I need to get a winner.
Let's find out what Vegasinsider.com. What's the latest line? Do you have it right there, Christian?
I'd have to pull it up really quick, but I know that Patrick Cantlay, I believe, is opening up at the heavy favorite at, I believe it was 15-2. Daniel Berger was at 14-1.
I will tell you. So you're right. Patrick is at plus 750. Yep. Daniel Berger plus 1400. Paul Casey plus 1800. Will Zalatoris, my dark horse that was looking stellar for a little bit there last week at plus 19. And Jason Day plus 2100. Round out the top five coming out of Vegas. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you got some. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of great guys playing this week. It's one of my favorite tournaments to watch, just because, you know, it's always going to be a shootout. They obviously have the pro am that's going on as well, so it's always fun to watch that. Like those guys, kick back, relax a little bit, but at the same time, they're there to do some business. You know, I don't know if it's going to be as stacked of a leaderboard as previous years, but still, you got a lot of good guys up there. Obviously, Patrick Cantlay, we just mentioned, Jordan Spieth, Ricky's going to be back there. Phil Mickelson's teeing it up this week. So it should be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll get to my pick here momentarily.
Well, I think the conversation ought to be about who's not there. When DJ withdrew, I think it was a couple, we're recording before our Thursday show, obviously, but DJ had just withdrew recently. I mean, there is not a single player in the top 10.
No.
Which kind of surprises me, though, if you think about it.
I mean, but with the way that the schedule is put together, especially this year, I mean, and just other circumstances, right? Like, obviously, they're still dealing with COVID-19 protocols and other things like that. The guys are kind of being a little bit more selective, especially those top guys. We still have a decent lead. I mean, still have a decent group of guys playing this week. By no means are they not. But, I mean, you got guys like Brian Harmon on this list. Phil Mickelson's on this list. Harold Varner III, Alex Noren, Joel Damon, guy who heated up and then just couldn't get it done. James Hahn from last week. Brant Snedeker, another guy. I mean, this leaderboard is a phenomenal leaderboard. Obviously, let's be honest, we all want to watch DJ because DJ is just good. But there's still some phenomenal players. I mean, you can't be upset about the line that we have to look at.
Well, there's others in the media that are ripping the field apart, saying it's a throwaway tournament. I mean, thank goodness. I mean, the other thing you're hearing a lot of is thank goodness the amateurs aren't there, a bunch of drunken fools, 5.5 hour rounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is another one of those tournaments. I mean, golf is about history. This is another one of those events where the historical perspective of the, I mean, this is Bing Crosby's clam bake where everybody hung out, have a good time, and
I think that the pro am factor, whether we want to admit it or not, the pro am factor not being there, I think, is what's actually changed this leaderboard. I truly do. I mean, you know, guys can say that they don't obviously look forward to, like, you know, it any more than any other week, but it's kind of cool to get to play with fellow celebrities, right? Like, it's kind of a unique week, just like with the waste management, obviously having 16 and the stretch that it has. Like, it's a unique week. Been fortunate enough to get to the West Coast and at least drive by Pebble. I don't know who would not want to go out there and play because it's absolutely gorgeous, but it's tough because you're in still that mixed ground of, like, we're coming out of protocols. We're having protocols still there. It's not all, you know, sunshines and rainbows on tour sometimes because you just, you know, it changes week to week.
Notably, I mean, you want to bring the COVID factor back into it. Patrick Harrington had to withdraw this week, tested positive. Our thoughts are with, obviously, Patrick. But Christian, what's your thoughts on the field?
I mean, when you first look at the field, you look at it and you're always looking for a Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy kind of teed up, especially at a venue like this, right? Pebble Beach has always been known to host major championships. This is one of the most likable tournaments on tour. So it kind of surprised me a little bit that you don't see anybody like that that's playing, that's teeing it up. Now, I don't know if DJ necessarily had to tee it up because, I mean, he just came off a win, you know, but I don't know why a lot of these guys teed it up. And, you know, again, the tournament field is a lot different than what we're used to seeing normally, you know. But again, regardless of who plays and who doesn't, it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. There's going to be a great person who wins on top, and it'll be a lot of fun come Sunday. So.
So with that, right.
Said, so come Sunday.
Yeah. Who's the top of the leaderboard then?
Well, before we do that, come somebody, whoever it's going to be, will have been rolling the rock perfectly.
1,000%. You have to roll the rock. Well,
I mean, you have to roll the rock. They definitely are getting their practice in because sometimes California weather is not always the warmest, and there's no other better way to do it than by my good friends right behind us over here at Perfect Practice. We obviously can't be fortunate enough to work with someone as great as them. It's without them that I would not be getting my putting stroke ready for the spring and summer golf shenanigans that I will be a part of with you two, and hopefully some other good guests along the way. But, you know, honestly, people, if you are looking for a great way to train and a great way to work on your putting and your putting stroke, especially during this off season, you have to give them a try. The lines being able to actually judge what 5-footers, 6-footers, all the way out to even 15 feet, depending on the size of the mat that you do get. It really does help. And I can honestly say that it's a personal triumph of mine to have been able to work with something like this, because it's definitely helped my game. So definitely need to give them a big shout out. You need to be able to use our code GTL15. Again, that is GTL15. For a 15% discount on your purchase today. We've had a lot of great success, a lot of good feedback from people that have gotten it already. So definitely need to get it tried out if you haven't already. And that way you're ready to go for the first golf match of 2021.
Well, since I'm apparently the old guy in the group, I should probably go first before my memory fails me and my picks are, right?
I mean, makes sense.
Christian?
I have no comment.
Crickets.
Who you got? Who's on top of the leaderboard come Sunday?
On top of the leaderboard on Sunday, rejuvenated because of a recent victory, Paul Casey.
I know. If I could swear on this podcast, I would be giving you some choice words right now. That was my pick.
Christian, you can swear on the podcast.
Yeah, some of these words.
Expletive.
No, I mean, that's a phenomenal pick. Paul Casey, obviously, you can never go wrong with him. But no, I did like him a lot, actually, this week. You know, he was on my short list to win it this week. And he obviously, you have to have a phenomenal short game to win at Pebble. You know, when you miss greens, you got to get up and down. He has a phenomenal short game. So very solid and safe pick. My first pick, actually, you can't go wrong with it because he loves playing over on the West Coast, but my pick's going to be Patrick Cantlay.
Wow, way to take the safe bet on the top
of
favorite.
The betting favorite. I don't care if he was in the middle of the pack. He's a phenomenal player, and he loves playing over on the West Coast. I mean, look at his stats. He's played well this tournament in the past. He's played well in West Coast tournaments and the swing of things, and
I'm going to lay this out there right now. If Patrick Cantlay is by some miracle listening to our show, Patrick, we apologize. His picks have missed the cut the last few weeks. So
have yours.
You know, it's okay. I haven't
2 weeks ago he missed the cut.
Yeah, and then this last week he won. So I was just a little ahead. My person, fellow lefty, has gotta be fellow lefty when I am a left-hander myself. Phil Mickelson. He's gonna be hitting bombs. He's got a phenomenal short game.
You're picking Phil to be your first pick?
Phil is my first pick.
Let me just chime in. I kept Phil on the shelf and I was going to bring him in as my dark horse pick.
No, that's too.
As he's currently 86 in the world, I think it is a phenomenal selection, and I'll tell you why, Andrew. Because he finished T2, finished 65, second outright, first place, and finished third last 5 years. Guy just gets it done at Pebble Beach. I absolutely commend the selection, and I'm pissed because that's who I was going to take for my dark horse.
Well, listen, that's the nature of the beast when, you know, you want to pick first, and I was fortunate enough that neither one of you said it. I knew those little factoids myself, which is why I picked him, because he's got a phenomenal short game. Phil has always had that. That's what's been his shining, you know, light of his career. And as Christian alluded to, you got to have a phenomenal short game in order to get it done at Pebble. And so that's why I went with him. And that's why I'm going to stick with him.
You know what? I hope Phil wins because I love Phil at Pebble.
There you go. So now that I've stolen your pick, go ahead with your dark horse.
Why don't you give us your dark horse while you're at it?
Well, while I'm at it. Okay.
We'll go reverse order.
Okay. If we're going to go while we're at it, this is another person that I personally think, I don't know why he's so low, but I feel like he's another good guy. And that's Charlie Hoffman. He right now in the Vegas Insider, he's 140-1 betting. If I'm a betting man, Charlie Hoffman can make a lot of birdies. He's got a phenomenal, again, can roll the rock, phenomenal short game. And, you know, I think he's the type of guy that can get the job done this week if given the opportunity.
I was not expecting you to go Charlie Hoffman's route at all. I thought you were going to go the Jason Day route or something in regards to that. But
I'm going off the rocker with my picks because clearly taking top dogs means nothing. So, you know, yeah, and I'm always three weeks ahead because I picked Brooks, you know, 2 weeks before, you know, the week before he wins. So I'm going outlandish a little bit, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going off the beaten path here with my pick. However, he did just play well over in Abu Dhabi. My dark horse pick is Rafa Cabrera-Bale.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Off the beaten path. He's had good stats here over the last few seasons, and he loves playing Pebble. He's been open to it. He just had a phenomenal showing in Abu Dhabi. He actually, I think he was minus 15 in that tournament. So, and Pebble's known for having these guys who have been playing, like, you know, maybe in a little bit of a slump coming in. Pebble's known for having those guys kind of break out in their first win. Look at Gary Woodland a few years ago at the U.S. Open. Broke out in his first major. You know what I mean?
Is that why you didn't pick Ricky? So that when he has his breakout, you can be like, Ricky's back?
Is just, I don't know what's going on with Ricky. Again, I'll allude to it again one last time, but he's got to get something figured out, I think, mentally first with the putter. And I think that's going to be his biggest thing. And, you know, if he doesn't make Augusta, I think his year's shot, personally. I mean, there's no – I don't know how you have the drive anymore after Augusta to really go to these tournaments and think that you could win. If I'm in Ricky's shoes. How about you, Alan? Who's your dark horse pick?
Well, it was Phil, like I said, but that got taken away from me. And then – I got two names that keep popping into my head. And one is, I just feel like I should take Ricky Fowler right now, but to just when he does suddenly do something remarkable, but I can't because he's just not going to. So I got to go back. I'm going to keep like Andrew does when he rides that one horse. I'm going to ride this horse because he still is outside the top 40. Number 49 this week, Will Zalatoris. I'm telling you, he's going to get it done. He will win. He will definitely win a tournament, I think, this year. It may not be Pebble. I'm hoping it's Pebble. I'd like to double points. Not going to lie. But Will Zalatoris, second week.
Yeah, he's knocking on the door. I mean, look at last week, too. Look at Xander. I mean, there's so many young guys right now that are on tour that are just knocking out on the door, just waiting for that first title. And Will can easily get it done, personally. Yeah, yep. I mean, this is such a fun tournament, too, because it's literally anybody's game. You know, if you had somebody like a Jon Rahm or DJ tee it up.
My logic is he is a ball striker. I mean, like I said last week, I still believe he's number one on the tour in strokes gained on approach shots. I mean, the small greens at Pebble, if you got a ball striker that's going to hit those targets, then that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I read a lot of people, too, were high on Brant Snedeker this week just because of his putting. You know, I mean, with his little pop stroke that he's got, I could see him getting up there as well. And, I mean, he was on my short list for my dark horse pick, but I'm pretty confident in my picks this week.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lot of changes, but, you know.
So, can't complain too much. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it.
So, there you have it, folks. If you are a betting person, we gave you the most recent line from VegasInsider.com. You've heard our picks. You'll follow the tally. And I've got to get that up on the website so everyone can see how I believe I'm dusting the field right now.
Yeah, we saw that.
Well, with age comes wisdom.
Yeah, without question.
Oh, see, I was going to say with age comes beauty, but that's just, you know, that's just me.
That's just because you're just trying to suck up at this point.
Yeah.
You're trying to make up for
yeah, I don't take back my comment from earlier.
Listen, honestly, you know, at this point, my picks have done absolutely nothing. That's why I've gone way off the deep end with my picks. So we'll see. But obviously, we're coming down the stretch here on 18. We need to get our closing thoughts in before we finish out here. So, Christian, before Monday's show, what we got for your closing thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, Alan, safe travels going home. I hope you have fun at Pinehurst, wherever you go for your second destination. Make sure to take a lot of pictures, please. Send them to us. Keep us in the loop, all the above. But hopefully you guys continue following us on this awesome journey that we're doing right now. Continue to follow us here on all social media accounts as always, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You know, we have a lot of great content coming out, a lot of great products of the month coming up here in the next few months because golf season's right around the corner. I'm finally looking forward to getting ready to seeing these guys and teeing it up here and moving forward. I'm excited for Pebble Beach this week. Hope you guys have a great week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you guys in the next show.
Andrew, final comments?
Final comments are I'm looking forward to Pebble. It's one of my favorite tournaments, even though there is no no Pro-Am. You know, it's disappointing, but one of my favorite weeks of the golf year, so looking forward to it. And, you know, as Christian alluded to, obviously thank you guys for everyone that has supported already. We continue to see all the subscribers that are joining our show each and every single day. So thank you guys for tuning in. All I'd like to say and ask if it is allowed is, you know, if you have that one golf friend, just one golf friend each, you know, let them know about our show. We greatly appreciate it as we continue to grow this show into what we hope it can be. But it's only going to get there by more and more people listening to it. So find that one golf friend that's looking for a great podcast. We try to keep it nice, short, and simple for you guys. So that way you guys can be able to listen to it on your drive in or drive home from work. And we appreciate, again, all the love and the support we have gotten. Looking forward to it. Dad, if you do stop in to the North Carolina Pinehurst area, which is what it sounds like, and you do get a chance, I have to see what the score is on the Cradle Cup and see if it was a fluke. So you may need to stop at the Cradle just for, you know, one little round of
I think the Cradle was actually going to be definitely on the list of things to do while stopping into Pinehurst. It's that enjoyable to play. Here's my final thoughts. I've got a shameless plug. One is great time down here. Again, shout out to all the staffs down here. We would love to profile other golf courses, destination properties. If you'd like to give us a shout, we'll get to try to get the team together and all bring down there social media through our email database and help promote your properties. The other one's more of a personal comment. Mike Carmel, you did bump me from the golf tournament. No disrespect, still love you, but you did bump me, and I've already committed for 2022, so please don't bump me again. And that, I think that's about it, other than to say, Christian, hit it long and straight because it beats
it beats short and crooked.
When it comes to great golf in Philadelphia's western suburbs, the conversation always turns to Bella Vista Golf Course. This must-play facility, designed by Jim Blaukovich, is known for its great layout and even greater conditions. It's also home to La Masseria, an elegant facility for weddings, banquets, and private parties. For more information, go to bellavistagc.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Mainland Golf Course in Harleysville and Morgan Hill in Easton.